Welcome to the Bayside Church Weekly Message Audio Podcast, Cheltenham.
This morning we are continuing our relationship series. This is our second last weekend. Who's enjoyed it thus far? It's been great, hasn't it? Covered a lot of topics from singleness, purity, of course, as Pastor Rob mentioned last weekend with Pastor Mark Gungor. He was looking at the Beatitudes of marriage. And this morning we are looking at a topic that we all go through at time to time in our lives, and that is how we transition well in life, how we keep our relationships strong and healthy through the transitions of life. You see, we all go through transitions where we have to make adjustments. Maybe that adjustment from singleness into marriage, and another adjustment when your first kid comes along, and there may be multiple kids, and eventually, and some people might say excitedly, all your kids leave. And you become empty nesters, and that's another adjustment that you have to make. So our aim today is to provide some great tips and advice in how we remain strong and healthy through these transitions in our lives. And I'm extremely excited this morning. We have a fantastic speaker. She is an internationally acclaimed motivational speaker. She's an author, but more than that, she is one of our very own. She's a Baysider. Please put your hands together and welcome Lisa McGuinness-Smith.
Thank you. I loved it. As I was listening to the introduction, my dad, who was sitting right behind me, says, "It's just my girl. It's just my girl." I love that. Good morning, everyone. How are you? You know, I was talking about transitions and I took Mark Gungor shopping and I found these glasses and I gave him the first option on them, but he didn't seem to want them, so I kept them for myself. You know, funnily enough about transitions is that sometimes we don't realise how close we are to people going through major change. We're so worried about our own worlds that we're not aware of what's happening all around us. I took the dog for a walk yesterday afternoon and I was just walking along the beachfront in Sandringham, and this beautiful couple were just sitting on a bench seat and she was leaning back onto his shoulder, and I just thought, wow, they looked like my mum and dad, madly in love. My mum and dad had been married 60 years. And I just said to them, "You're a beautiful picture here." And, you know, we started to chat and I said, "How long you been together?" And they said, 3 months. Firstly, I realised that it's dangerous to assume anything. And then they went on to explain how the lady had been coming for respite care into Sandringham from Echuca, and how she'd been in the home no more than 3.5 months, and the gentleman had arrived 6 months earlier, and they'd both lost their spouses 12 years ago. And they just met each other, and there they were transitioning into a new relationship at 87 and 86. But you know, I've got to say, the glow that was on them was just like young love. And it made me realise that age is not the thing that determines how we feel. That the transitions that come, difficult things happen at all different stages of our lives, and so do lovely things. And that we're to make sure as a community that we celebrate with one another's joys and commiserate with people's troubles and have sympathy and have a heart. And sometimes you can do nothing to fix it, but you can simply be there and just walk with them through life and just continue to be kind and just to care about how they're feeling. And I was thinking about some of the harder transitions in my own life, and it's funny how you think about moments. It comes back to moments. I was talking to Col about my husband Colin about talking about transitions, and I remember that first Christmas where we were trying to prepare a roast dinner for both families and we argued vehemently over the size of the pumpkin and potato pieces. My family did them chunky and his family did them little, and he was telling me how to do them. And I wondered what right he had in my kitchen. And he's pretty much stayed out of the kitchen ever since. But I thought about it. I thought, wow, look at the things that we let get up our nose and irritate us. And one thing that Cole and I really struggled over was the clothes dryer. You know, I was single and lived in an apartment and had a clothes dryer. I'd grown up with a family, a working mum. We had a clothes dryer. Colin grew up with a mum who stayed at home and put all the washing on the line. So when we married and we went, you know, to one home, I said, where's the clothes dryer? He said, we do not need a clothes dryer. I said, it's Melbourne. He said, I've never needed a clothes dryer and we don't need one now. And being a good wife, we had made a policy that if we really can't agree, then we would go his way first. We just made an arrangement. Because you know when you get to that point, look, what do you do when you've got no idea and you're both really in opposition? So we just made this agreement early. We'll try your way first. So we did. We said, okay, he's going to do the washing, hangs it out on the line, and my part of it was to bring the washing in. I thought, I can do that. 3 days later, the washing would still be on the line. And he would be so cranky. And I was thinking, my intention was to adapt. My intention was to transition and try his idea and just bring the washing in. It wasn't like I was doing the washing. But you know, my habits were that I would look at the dryer to see if there was anything in the dryer, which there was no dryer there, and I would never look at the line. And it actually took a long time to train myself to check, was there anything on the line? Did it need to come in? Because habits take a long time forming, and sometimes when you're going to break an old habit that's not working for you anymore, you have to intentionally do something practical every day to make it happen. We needed a holiday with less than a year together, and we took a little break, and Colin's friend stayed in our home. And we came home after 10 days of lovely peace and quiet, no arguments, and he stood at the front door and he said, how do you live without a dryer? And it all came rushing back. I said, we don't. And he said, great, I've already bought and installed one for you. All I could think was, thank goodness it wasn't my friend that had stayed in the house. I just love the fact that I got the desires of my heart, but I'd gone my husband's way. I'd got the desires of my heart. I really wanted a dryer. But sometimes you've got to work out which battles are worth fighting over and which ones do you just try intentionally shift a little bit, shift a little bit. And Colin and I have found we've had to shift a lot. Because Colin comes from one family and his tribe and my tribe are really, really different. It's amazing how opposites attract. And I've got to say this, whether it's in friendships or in marriages, often we're attracted to people that are quite different to us, even in the friendships we hold. And therefore, we can also have a few big blow-ups with our friends. Who's ever had a reasonably good argument with a friend besides me? Yeah. Now, it's not that you want to argue with your friends, but as far as I'm concerned, if you can't agree to disagree, then what type of friendship do you have? Do you have to think the same, do the same? You have to be able to talk and share and be heard more than anything else, but you don't have to agree. Because I love this about God. God hears us all the time. He often doesn't agree with our point of view. He often doesn't agree with what we think we need or deserve, but he listens and he cares and he walks with us and he stays with us. And even when I am not very nice to be around, my God stays with me. He transitions with me through all the seasons of my life and stays with me. And sometimes we've got to learn to stay with one another better, do the transitions better. So let's just talk about the transitions for a moment. How many different transitions do we face? Well, depending on single, married, elderly, young. So let's just get a few ideas on what transitions we in this community would face. And of course, I have brought chocolate. Well, you get chocolate just because you predicted that I would bring chocolate. All right, what are some of the transitions? Oh, someone's eaten this one. What are some of the transitions that we would face? Come on, what's a transition that we would face? Yes. Children. Children are massive transition, massive transition. And of course, the first child's massive and the second one is, oh yeah, after children, beautiful, after children. And yeah, children going to school, thank God they go to school. Yeah, getting married, major transition. Yeah, getting remarried, absolutely. Yeah, grandchildren. Oh, aren't grandchildren awesome? Awesome. Grandchildren. I've just had my first grandchild. I'm in heaven. That's what grandchildren. I love grandchildren because you transition and give them back. Changing workplace. Yeah, changing workplace. Major change. Migration. Yeah, migration. Where did you migrate from?
Nigeria.
You need a lot of chocolate. You need a lot of chocolate. Oh, that we might help people transition from other nations to our nation and get to know that, look, we could miss out on a great bloke like this one if we don't help people transition. Chocolate. He just says, yeah, chocolate is a transition. I used to give away dried fruit. People wouldn't do anything for dried fruit.
Going from primary school to high school.
Yeah, primary school to high school. It's scary. I still remember that. All those lockers. Second grandchild. Are you bragging now? Oh, moving house. That's a big one. Yeah. Moving house is big. And for those of us that have been in a house for a while, we have a lot of junk to transition. Yeah, returning to work. That is big. That is big.
Nappies to undies.
Nappies to undies. You know what I love about this guy? Is I love the fact that we had so many beautiful singers, plus a guitarist and singer up there. I've got to say, are we so grateful for the beautiful musicians in our church? Thank you, all of you. Oh, yeah, oh yeah, okay, all of the musicians. Where's Yong Bing? Where's he gone? He's up the back. Oh, yeah, there he is. Duck. Oh, your husband's passed away. Oh, that's a really big transition. You get more chocolate. I mean, loss is a really hard transition. Yes. Yeah, oh, children moving. You do need more chocolate.
Sisters turning to teenagers.
That is good. Yes. Divorce. It's a huge transition. Fostering. Oh, yeah. Oh, you deserve chocolate, Michelle. Michelle has the most beautiful little girl that she's fostering. Oh, in-laws came to stay. She does deserve a lot of chocolate. In fact, I know my mother-in-law moved in with us 9 weeks ago. She was here last night. I couldn't say anything.
Son-in-law.
Yeah. What came to stay?
Transition.
Oh, transitioning to the son-in-law. Yes, up the back corner. Oh, mortgage. You're not kidding. How many of you are still adjusting to the mortgage? Yeah, that's right. Beautiful. Now, notice how many transitions there are. And sometimes we need to realise that we're not waiting until there's no transitions to live life to the full. God wants us to live fully in relationship with one another in the middle of all the problems. Because not all these transitions are bad, but a lot of them are quite tough. So we've got to find ways to encourage and enjoy one another in the transition. You know, waiting for a baby, waiting to conceive is a massive transition. And the love and support needed. And then the love and support needed if one arrives. Massive. But I just think that sometimes we forget, how do we sustain one another in the middle of the transitions? Well, I know that I've got to use the Word of God. You know, I'm trained as a sports psychologist and I know the power of positive, optimistic, faith-filled words. They work. But I've got to tell you, the power of God's Word actually puts an enabling inside of us that positive thinking doesn't provide. So the power of God's Word, we need to have it in our world. So we need to know the words that will address each situation. So that's the next thing I'd like to reward you for. Let's see if we can't come up with the scriptures that we need that actually are going to hold us. And maybe you can think of a scripture that has held you, that has enabled you to hold the ground or kept your peace or travel through. What are some of these key words of God's that have brought life into you? Like, there've been seeds planted, but then you've started to water it and nourish it and utilize them until they've given you real strength. Do you know, I love the scripture. He will make a way where there seems no way. And you know, Cole and I are in small business, and you know, it means that income goes like this, up and down like a roller coaster. We never know from month to month or year to year. So hard to plan with a mortgage when it's like this. We've had to say every week sometimes, He makes a way where there seems no way. He can bring us through so that we don't be looking at one another, trying to blame someone else, but actually trust God together. Sometimes we have to look at each other and say, You are not my enemy. Do you know, like just that statement, and we say it out loud, because if you start to think that that's my opposition, my partner or my friend or my parent, it's like, no, we're on the same team. Parents and kids can often feel like they're in opposition, but really, parents and kids are both wanting the same thing for your life to flourish. So we've got to find the words that help us have that relationship. So let's see it. What are some of the great scriptures that have held you strong? All right, you've got one. Yeah, so if your delight is in the law of God and you meditate on it day and night, you'll be delighted. You'll live in delight. Yeah, give me another one to catch. Yeah, delight's really important. Yes. What God made to bring together, no man can separate. That's right. Beautiful. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who gives me strength. Beautiful. That's right. Yes. 4:6. Philippians 4:6. Oh, I love that. Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything, trust God with prayer and petition. And I love the Message version that says, celebrate God all day, every day. In other words, learn to celebrate the presence of God in the middle of your problems. It's just a beautiful, and you know, sometimes just saying it to yourself, celebrate God all day, every day. Jack, I'm going to give you chocolate just because I like you. Hebrews 13:5. What? What's the scripture?
For He will not forsake you nor leave you.
He will not forsake you and He will not leave you. Yeah, whatever is worthy of praise. Instead of thinking of the negatives, think about the things that are good and trustworthy and powerful and positive and admirable and truthful. Like every version of the Bible that runs you through that scripture is uplifting. Yeah. It's beautiful. Yeah, over there, right over there. Back row, yeah. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Now, as I'm saying these scriptures, I want you to mouth them along with me. Notice that she starts it and I finish it. Why can I finish it? Because I know it. And the scriptures I know that I have sown into my life, she has so many friends that would like a chocolate. The scriptures that have sown in, they're there to stay. All you need is someone else just to start it, yeah. And then it's there. It's embedded into how I think.
Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Acknowledge him in all your ways and he will make your path straight.
Beautiful. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not
on your own
understanding. Beautiful, beautiful. Someone at the back. Oh, come on, Carly, give us one. Yet for I know the truth, and the truth shall set me free. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he or she should go, and when they are old, they will. Yes, Rob.
Ephesians 3:20.
Yes.
Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine.
Ephesians 3:20, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we can think or imagine, and you need a bounty.
Thank you so much.
Pays to know what the pastor likes. Oh, yeah, right up in the back row. Go on. Yes, yes. He who is from heaven is stronger than he is from the world. I mean, the Lord is our strength and our salvation. Oh, here, now there's three of you. Go on, that's right. Yes, she's gathering for her friends as well. Now, I'd like you just to turn to the person next to you and just tell them the scripture that has been really powerful. Just one scripture that's been powerful in your life. Just have a shot. Turn to someone around you. Did anyone have the same scripture as the person next to them? Yeah, isn't that interesting? I mean, there's so many scriptures. And I did this morning, and I know you're not meant to do this, but I just went, just flip my Bible open and just see what came up. And it came up with this, Psalm 119, verse 65. Be good to your servant, God. Be as good as your word is. Train me in good common sense. I'm thoroughly committed to living your way. Before I learned to answer you, I wandered all over the place. That was me. But now I'm in step with your word. You are good and the source of all good. Train me in your goodness. And I just thought, it's amazing. The word of God is something that is empowering. But sometimes we forget to make it a way of life. Think about what is a way of life. What's a habit in your world? How many of you turn the radio on first thing in the morning or flip the TV on at the news time? Or you just immediately, you know, go for a certain TV show? Do you do that more habitually than open the Word of God? You know, I just want you to think about the habits. Transitions are going to happen better if the habit of wisdom is in your life. And without wisdom, you don't transition well because we don't know what the next season's like. I don't know how to be a grandparent. I'm just about to learn. And I don't know how to care for my mother-in-law in my home, but I am learning. And you know, if it's true that in Christ I can do all things, then I've got to make sure that I put the words that change my world into my world every day. And I've got to tell you, I can struggle with this as much as anybody else. I can get into patterns or go on holidays and get out of the habit of reading the word and then suddenly find 3 months has gone by and I've had no ritual of the word. I mean, we can all do the random, can't we? Oh, we need it now, so... But I just want to encourage you. I mean, in our church, we have scriptures to read, to soap with all the time. How many of you are doing soap? So just look, that's a really small percentage. Lucky if it's 10%. So what can we as a community do to help one another get into the Word? Well, I'm just going to encourage you. If you need to start again, just start on the Gospel of John. He loves Jesus. Jesus loved John, and he writes about love. And sometimes when we're getting back into the habit, we need some words that are really telling us how much he loves us. We need to let him call us back. So can I just encourage you? How many of you will commit to reading the chapter of John with me this week, please? All right. So let's see if we can't check on one another. Go, how are you going? Because you know what? You are going to fall in a hole. Because like me, your intentions are to change, but you get stuck and you forget and you put other things like gardening in front of it, weeding. Come on, we've got to weed the stuff out of our own world that doesn't work for us and put in the good stuff. One thing that we need to do is make a commitment to ourselves. What will I change before I walk out of this church? What will I change? Thank you.
Fantastic. Let's put our hands together for Lisa. Some great practical advice there. Now, we are not finished. We are going to get into some Q&A. So, Lisa, I might invite you back up to the platform. Lisa is one of our panelists this morning. I'd also like to invite Catherine North, who is one of our amazing mums at Bayside. Please welcome Catherine as she comes. And David Lawson, one of our board members at Bayside. Let's welcome David as he comes this morning as well. Excellent. Well, I'm going to ask our three panelists this morning some questions about transition, specifically into the stage of life that they are travelling through at the moment. So, Catherine, we might start with you this morning. For those of you who don't know Catherine is a very busy mum. Her and her husband, Andrew, have four kids under the age of 9. Is that correct?
Yes.
Wow, very busy and you're working full time. So tell us, it's obviously a massive transition going from just you and Andrew, the two of you, into your first child and then subsequent children after that. How have you done that?
Huge transitions, and we've been transitioning ever since. going from just being a couple, that's massive. Like it's when we got married, we both were still a bit at home and we moved out and got married and moved in together, and that's just a huge transition. And there's lots of, the first year was rough, I have to say that, but you know, a bit more smooth sailing now. And then of course the transition of having your first child, that is just a shock. Right there. And then the transition begins right from the beginning when you get pregnant. There's life seemingly goes on the same for the male, but there's a whole other transition going on for the ladies that we'll talk about that another day. But it is just huge. When you have your first child at 9 months waiting for that to pass, and then it's born, be it boy or girl, it's just, words can't describe. This human is just the best, amazing thing that's ever happened, but a shock, a real shock. Like, life will never be the same. As a couple, you get to go out to movies, dinner, pretty much do what you want, when you want, whenever, and you go out late and you sleep in, you go out late and you sleep in, well, that's just gone. Just over and done with. But it does come back, it does, but just not straight away. The first 6 months is a real fog, a real haze. Life again sort of goes on the same for the husband, especially when they go back to work. They're like, right, we're back to normal. Well, women not back in normal. We're in a whole nother world of poo and chuck and wee and no sleep. And gosh, if I could shower once a day, it'd be great. And just getting back into that routine. And the first child, it is. It's just a shock. And these lovely comfy cushions that you guys love, well, they're gone. They are just feeding machines. They will come back. They will. But give us time. Okay? Give us time. It is just... It is a huge change. You know, we used to sleep when we want and now you sleep whenever you can. And let me say, people used to say to you when you're first time, sleep when you can. Yes, yes, yes. Now I come, those who came last weekend, I'm from perfect world. My world had to be perfect, and first children teach you very fast that you can't have perfect world in a house with a newborn child. It just doesn't happen. So first child is just a real shock. And once you get through that first 6 months, you sort of find your feet again, and then you do get some couple time again. And then you have another one because you've had couple time again. And then...
Smooth, smooth.
And then comes number two. Now, number two, I have to say, first a shock. Two was, I was really stressed about the second one. Really stressed. I didn't know how I was going to love something as much as I loved my firstborn. Like, I didn't know if there was enough love to go around. Well, there was, and wow. But I did struggle finding the time balance between first child, you've got 100% of your time whenever you're around. Second child, how do I do what I did with number one, but still feed number two, but keep number one happy, and then include hubby. So trying to fit it all into, it's a real juggling act. I've been juggling ever since, I think. But yeah, the second one was just a stress of having enough time for everybody. Yeah, and finding another routine. It's just another transition. You just keep transitioning with all your children. But I did find finding that balance of time with one, time with the second, then family time together. And then we went for number three. And number three, well, he just bounced in because we're just moving so fast with two already. Life was just going and he just had to come along and we were on and just going. Number three was really easy to bring home. And then number four, well, that wasn't my idea. We weren't having number four. We had in our pre-marriage classes three kids. That was just my perfect picture, three kids, and I was done for three. And we were having dinner one night as a family, sitting around the table. Now, for those who have moved on from having kids, you know, you move on. My mind was right. Clothes are gone. Some of the toys have moved on. And my husband had a vision at the table. He goes, "Catherine, I think we're going to have four children." I'm like, "Pardon?" I mean, no. That we have moved on. He goes, "No, I can see it." And he had a vision of down the track, and we're around the table with four teenagers and having a great old laugh. And I said, "Surely it was a friend. We didn't have four." He just had a friend over, and he goes, "No." I said, "Well, we can adopt. We can adopt the fourth one because you honestly don't remember what it's like, the whole pregnancy and that first 6 months, that first year." And he's like, "No." Well, that was an instant argument. Right there. And it took a long time, oh, I say a long time, for me to get my head around it. I was really grumpy for the rest of that night. The next day I woke up grumpy. I was like, how could he do this? We were having three. We've got three healthy children. I've gone through three interesting pregnancies and he wants one more. I just can't do this. Well, I'd heard about people praying for a changed heart and I thought, you beauty, I'm going to give this a whirl and change his heart. So I prayed and prayed and prayed, like prayed like I've never prayed before. Who got the changed heart? That'd be me. Didn't work the way I had planned it. But I got the changed heart. And I mean, those who know me, I love babies. Love them, love them, love them. And we ended up with a terrible pregnancy. And it wasn't through our family connect. Oh, we probably wouldn't have got through it. But we do have four beautiful children today. And yeah, two girls, two boys, just perfect. It is perfect for us. And yeah, God knew to give us two and two. It was just sensational, but a huge transition going to number four. And like number three bounced in, well, number four just had to hang on because with school and kinder and the works of everything, I will admit, I almost forgot him one morning for school. I will admit that. But I remembered before we got out of the driveway. But yeah, number four. Number four was just, that was a huge transition, huge, but wouldn't change it for the world.
You're amazing, Catherine. Don't you just love the raw honesty? Fantastic. Some great practical advice. We'll move on to you, David. Now, Kathy and yourself have three children who have now got families of their own, and you guys have become grandparents.
We have, yes. We have four grandchildren.
Great.
Age one through seven.
Okay. So you have been then through a number of transitions in your life. Give us a strategy how you have managed and to stay healthy and strong through the different changes in your life.
Yeah, so sometimes when I reflect on life, it seems to me that life is just transitions, that you constantly seem to be moving from one thing to another, and there's always challenges in front of you. And about 15 years ago, I sort of reflected on this and thought, you know, I've stumbled through all these transitions. Let's just let them happen to me. Maybe if I sit down and come up with a strategy, I can get through them a lot better. But not only that, they can make me and Kathy a better person or better people as we move through the transition. So I sat down, I came up with a little three-part strategy. Now, this is over and beyond the prayer life, because I think as we've just been hearing all this morning, that prayer life is absolutely critical. That's the rock. Everything else sits around the rock, I think, yeah. So my three-part strategy goes a bit like this. And the first part I pinched straight from a Pastor Rob sermon, enjoy the journey. Yeah, now, I don't know that those who heard this sermon. It was actually a fairly early one, if I remember, yeah. Pastor Rob. Yeah. But effectively what it says is, if you're in a situation, in a transition, in a challenge, find something you can enjoy about it. Focus on that. Don't focus on the difficult part. And for me, that made a lot of sense. So I grabbed hold of that. And what I've found is that very often, it's the relationships about that transition which are the most enjoyable bit. And they're also the most rewarding bit. So I always take that away from any form of transition or challenge I face. Now, the second one is always do the best you can in a transition or a challenge. Now for me, that means two things, really. First of all, it means generosity. And generosity doesn't necessarily mean money, though it can. But it certainly generally means time, giving of your time, giving of your love, giving of your affection, giving of your care, letting people know, if it's a transition about people, that you really do care about them and you are prepared to give them your time. Now, what I've found is if you're generous to people in that way, they're generous back to you. And once again, it's the relationship that develops. And that's really the rewarding thing. Now, the other thing I've found about doing your best is to be flexible. I mean, if you try something and it doesn't work, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Just try a different approach. Just keep trying as you move through those transitions and those challenges. Don't let a transition or a challenge control you. You try and control it all the time. That's very important. Now, the third one probably relates back to me. You know, like I'm an ex-academic, so I'm into learning and all those sorts of good things. Anytime there's a transition or a challenge, I try and learn something from it. I try and take something from it. Some new skill, some new knowledge, some new aspect, something that I can store away as an experience. Because what I've found is it's experiences which give you the tools to move through future transitions and future challenges. Now, I'm sure that Catherine's actually found that out with her kids, that as you move from the first to the fourth, I know the fourth one doesn't get the same care. That's our experience in any case. But you've learnt. You've learnt things. They've been stored away in your head. And so now you know how to do things. They're not quite so stressful. So take something away from all of your transitions and challenges. Now, as Jacob mentioned, grandchildren have probably been our biggest transition over the last four or five years. And we've actually found that that's been an enjoyable experience. Just recently, we've had to look after one of them 24/7. So we've gone back to Catherine's situation to a certain extent. But that's been very enjoyable. During the day, it's been enjoyable. I won't say it's been enjoyable at night time. but it's been great. Now, the thing that we have found about grandchildren is if you develop a great relationship with your grandchildren, it adds to the relationship you have with your children. And that has been a very, very welcoming experience for us.
Yeah, I love how you draw on the positive in those transitions. I think sometimes we can naturally default to the negative in a transition. Oh, this is hard. But I love what you were saying there, always looking for the positive in every aspect. So, yeah, thank you, David. Lisa, you had an interesting change in your family dynamic, I believe, when you found out that you had a stepdaughter that you didn't know that you had. So you've had to journey the process and the transition of now a blended or a non-typical family. Give us a tip and share some insight into how you guys have done that.
For those who don't know my story, I was married 8 years. We had two children and we discovered that Colin had a daughter on the other side of the world, and that she was 16. So there were a couple of difficulties in that. Firstly was the fact that she was 16 and that she was a teenager, and that how are we going to adapt to bringing a teenager into our world? And of course, the bonus on that was I hadn't had to do anything up to 16. So I'd skipped all of Catherine's season and I'd missed all that child side. And so we had a young adult. Look, I think this is such a big area where there are children that are being conceived out of marriage and children who need to know who they belong to. Because, you know, the thing I really discovered with our daughter Christian is that she needed to know who her father was. Doesn't matter whether she was loved and being raised somewhere else, she needed to know, who is this person? And my husband and I needed to know that if we went to meet this girl, was it going to be Colin's daughter or our daughter? And I've got to say, the role model of my parents were very inclusive. As I grew up, my parents included everybody. They included, my dad has two sons that were professional tennis players, but my dad made room for other young men that didn't have good dads, didn't have coaches, and he brought them into our family, into our world, loved them and nurtured them as if they were part of the family. And that was the model. That, you know, you didn't lose out by adding another. And my mother did the same thing. There were always young women. She brought two ballet dancers into my world when I was 16, who stayed in our home. And it never, we never lacked because of it. We actually learnt that, like you said, love multiplies. Like, there's more love available if you choose to bring more people in. It doesn't divide. That was really important. And so in this, one thing I learned, that we could have just said, no, this is too hard. I don't want a daughter from the other side of the world. Let's just leave her there. And I would have missed out on one of God's best gifts for me, because I'd always wanted three children and only got two. And so, you know, it was actually the secret desire of my heart. And then I ended up getting this gorgeous young woman from the United States who eventually did move into our world and then marry the boy from Beau Morris. And it's she who has just given us our first grandchild. Yeah. Yay! Yeah. Yay! So you've got to say that God can bring all things together for good for those who love him, and that he'll make a way where there seems no way. And even Christian's mum is about to move into the country. So we're about to have another transition, to have another mum coming into the mix, which I think is incredibly exciting. At one stage, I would have been afraid, and now I am really in awe of what God can do, and that, hey, there's always room for another one in my family. That's how I see it.
Yeah, God is good. Mm. He's great. He's sovereign. That's, yeah. Thank you for sharing your story again this morning for us, Lisa. Now, just before I let you guys go, we're going to play a little game. Now, this is a word association game. So I'm going to give our panelists one word, and I want quick fire, rapid responses. The first thing that pops into your head when I say the word newlyweds.
Trouble.
Catherine.
Fumbling.
Totally embarrassed.
Very good, newlyweds. You might be able to relate. Next word, teenagers.
Trouble.
Scary, not looking forward to it.
Too long ago, Jacob.
Moving on. Okay, next one. What about house chores?
Trouble.
I've got a one-track mind.
He's just picking all the tough subjects.
Never ending.
Actually enjoyable.
Wow.
Oh.
Enjoyable.
Ooh.
Give that a round of applause. That's an amazing answer. Well done, David.
I should explain. In my job, you never saw an outcome. When you do a house chore, you see an outcome. And that's, yeah.
Very fulfilling.
Except if you've got little kids.
All right, next word. What about in-laws?
Fortunate. It took your breath away, didn't it?
Enough said.
Andrew's not here this morning. He was here last night. No, a real blessing in disguise.
Great. Well put, well put.
Yeah, I agree. An addition to the family.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, would you put your hands together for our panellists today? Fantastic. Love their honesty.
Thank you, John.
Excellent. And I'll hand back over to you, Lisa.
I'm really not negative, Jacob. Really not trying to be negative with the trouble. look, you know when you hear all our responses and you watch the way we do have a laugh. We've got to have a laugh. A sense of humour in relationships is really important. And when Colin and I haven't been able to make a way, sometimes we've just said, let's just be really fascinated with one another, because... Don't you reckon that works? It's that, look, be amused. I don't know, I've been attracted to a man that's very opposite to me, and I want to enjoy all the strengths and all the funny sides of our life. And we've learnt to laugh a lot. And I watch my parents in their, you know, early 80s. You know, stuff happens when you're in your 80s. And they laugh a lot too. So that's been an excellent role model, to stay lighthearted about the things that you cannot change and only focus on the things that you're going to target to do something about. So there's something that we really want to do something about, and that is help you. We want to help you. So Jacob's got some goodies there.
Yeah, who loves a giveaway? We're going to hand out some giveaways just before we finish up today. Now, the first book I would like to give away, and Jimmy Dan, he's going to help us here. It's called Empty Nest, Strategies to Help Your Kids Take Flight. Who is looking forward to helping their kids take flight? Oh, the lady in the second row there, fantastic. Enjoy that book.
And I've got Bill Hybels' book, Fit to Be Tied. I read this. I love Bill Hybels. Really, really honest and transparent. And for those that are dating or engaged or looking to be married, someone who wants to do relationships really well and in that early stage. Who's in that stage? Oh, good, over there. Okay, I see you at the back. You with the good answer before.
Fantastic. Now, the next giveaway I have here, this is exciting. There's an Italian restaurant in Beaumaris called La Cucina, and we have got an $80 dinner voucher. Now, this is for a married couple. This is getting hard right now. Jimmy, I'm going to hand this over to you. This is a dinner voucher for a married couple who want to go out to dinner. So maybe somewhere down the back there, we can hand that dinner voucher out. Good on you, Jimmy. Hands everywhere.
And this book might help those prepare for the dinner. It's called The Five Love Languages. And really, it's for a couple that would like to know a little bit more how to understand their partner's love language. And I think dinner would be far more fun if you actually read this book first. So, see that lady down there in the pink. Would you mind, Jimmy? Thanks.
Excellent. Now, you saw in Bayside News this morning that we as a church run a marriage course. This is an amazing course. It's an 8-week course. And we are offering a complimentary pass for a married couple to attend the marriage course, completely free. But you have to commit to the 8 weeks. So if you're married, I want you to have a quick chat with your spouse. And if you are going to commit to going along to the 8 weeks, this is going to really bless your marriage. Can I see a show of hands? Who wants to go to the marriage course? Down the back, down the back there.
Ooh, I
like fantastic. It. That'll be excellent.
I like her. I like it. I was just looking at this one that I had here. It's called Passionate Marriage. Looking for more passion in their relationship. And while I'm thinking about that, I've got this program called Hot Stuff. Oh, it's hot. It's hot. And I always say how to take your relationship from warm to hot and hot to sizzling. So I've got, and this one is for blokes that don't like to watch, just like to listen. It's called Marriage Rules. So there's three there, Jimmy. Put your hands up if you'd like those, and Jimmy's running that direction. Or maybe I'll do this one as well. This one's a counselling session. Oh, no, not all together. Spread them out. The lady right here at the front, she deserves one. She was really, that's right. Now, this one's a counselling session. Do you know what? This is a one-hour counselling session. This is invaluable. This can get you started with getting solutions. And I've got to tell you, Colin and I periodically book ourselves in for 4 sessions of counselling with someone independent. We have made it a practice in our marriage to invest in our marriage. And we don't need to be in trouble to go and get help. We want to sort through areas in our marriage where we don't communicate well. And, you know, having a third party, it's so helpful. So who would like to get a third party? All right, I see that hand. Third party, second row from the back, please. Jimmy, you're doing lots of running. Beautiful.
Quick, Jimmy, I've got another one for you. Quick smart. And the last little giveaway this morning, this is a book called Boundaries in Dating. So if you are single and would like to read up on boundaries during dating, Marsha, no. Down the lady down the back there as well. Fantastic. Awesome. We love a good giveaway. Now, I'm just thinking, just to close, would you like to pray for us? I think just to close the service.
Well, firstly, I would like to see a little bit of commitment. For anyone in this auditorium that you know that you're in a transition and you're not doing that well at it. You need a little bit of God's intervention. Would you mind just saying, that's me. I need some help in this transition. Okay, so let's get, everyone stand up, please. For those who really would love to get some prayer, some private prayer, we're going to open the altar and we're just going to stay here and pray with each one as long as you want after the service. But to start, I would love to pray for everyone. You know, we could do this better, could we not? We could love one another better, and we need some better habits. And for those of you who don't know me, I tend to like to pray like this. I was raised Catholic, so I was raised to pray like this. But when I was teaching RE, and a little boy did this, I said, "Joshua, what are you doing?" He said, "Mrs. Mac, I need a lot of help." And from then on, I just started to stand before God just like this, with that little soft, childlike heart, said, "God, I need a lot of help." So for those that would like to get a lot of help, put your hands up. You can pray any way you want. Father God, we raise our hands today because we know you are the source of our help. And we are asking, Father, that you would enter into our period of transition, that you would give us wisdom, and that you would enable us to see what to do on any given day. Father, open our eyes, our ears, and our hearts to do things differently, to be creatively, to think in ways that you would think. Father, there's not just one way to solve our situation. There are many. And we open our arms up right now and we declare that you are God and you have solutions for us and you have capacity for us. And we just receive it by faith in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this weekly message audio podcast. If you'd like to listen to more messages and find out more information, check out our website at www.baysidechurch.com.au. Church has changed. Check it out.